Some political analysts are saying that Governor Scott Walker is heading into the most challenging re-election race of his 25 years in politics. Naturally, a lot at stake during yesterday's State of the State address before lawmakers. State of the State is an annual message presented by the governor to a joint session of the state legislature. This was his eighth one. Our morning after analysis on the morning show starts with Maurice Shepherd. He is a political science instructor at Madison Area Technical College. Maurice, welcome back to the program.
Good morning. Thank you.
Well, what was your big takeaway from the governor's State of the State address?
That this is an election year that I think came across very clear. And this was a very unique for Governor Walker State of the State address. In the past, they've been traditionally very, for Governor Walker, fairly short, compact, and he would list a few different policy. He would always promote the state and what he has accomplished. But then, once again, there'll be sort of a limited list of sort of what he's looking forward to do. This one, it was long. It was sprawling.
We had a seven-part agenda on initiatives.
Yes.
And taking notes on number one, number two, number three. I mean, it was laid out.
Oh, yeah. It was almost like a great novel. He started off first with, in terms of, you know, what really worked. And then he went to the past. He compared, once again, his administration to Governor Doyle's 8 years ago. Very long list there.
And references then, a number of times, to Tommy Thompson.
Yeah, exactly. I think he was doing a couple of different things. One, he was comparing himself against Governor Doyle, a Democratic governor. Again, so he can once again highlight his accomplishments. And then he tried to link himself to sort of a favorite son of Wisconsin, Tommy Thompson, who was in the governor's office for quite a few terms. So,
and he also linked the low unemployment rate, 3%, and then saying, well, it hasn't been this way since a few months during Tommy Thompson's governorship. So in 98, I think it was.
Yeah, exactly. And for Tommy Thompson, even though he was unsuccessful in his bid for the U.S. Senate, within Wisconsin, he is still beloved. So it was a wise political choice on Governor Walker's part to sort of link himself as closely as he could to Tommy Thompson.
Given that he may be in for a pretty tough re-election this fall, how important was this speech?
The speech was very important. According to at least some of the early political forecast, one report I looked at was the Cook report, and they ranked the different states in terms of gubernatorial races that are coming up. Walker is seen as being that Wisconsin is leaning Republican, meaning that Walker will have to fight to keep his job to be reelected, but he should be in a pretty good position. But I think what we saw yesterday was a political operative, a candidate, a governor that understands he's going to have to fight if he wants to win a third term.
The governor spent about the first half of his speech touting successes, as you mentioned, from the past year and since taking office in 2011. Here he is going through some of those major accomplishments. Let's take a listen.
More people working than ever before. Unemployment is at historic low. Record investments in our kids' education. More help for our colleges and universities. Lower taxes. Quality health care. Growing agriculture and industry. Taking care of our veterans. Yeah, we're getting things done. We are getting positive things done for the people of Wisconsin.
And we heard that positive things done for people in Wisconsin as more of like a mantra through the speech, a theme. Did he make a fairly compelling case that Wisconsin is moving in the right direction?
As a political speech, he did. It's self-contained. I think he did an excellent job in terms of coming out, stating a theme. I think he said he used the term positive more than 15 times. I stopped counting at one point, again, to sort of get his message forward. So I think for Governor Walker, he did exactly what he needed to do. I think also a very important part of his speech was the speech itself, that he was very energized. He showed a lot of passion, a lot of intensity. I mention this because even though he referenced, once again, Tommy Thompson as, you know, someone that he would like to follow in his footsteps, Tommy Thompson actually had some critical comments for not just Governor Walker, but Wisconsin Republicans. He mentioned that, again, that the 2018 may not be a good year for Republicans. In particular, former Governor Thompson said that the Democrats are much more organized, they're much more energized, and they have a lot more passion. So his warning was for Wisconsin Republicans that if you're going to once again, head off a blue wave, per se, we've got to, Republicans have to become more passionate and more intense in what they're doing. And I think for Governor Walker yesterday, that's what he tried to show in his speech.
We've got morning after analysis on the state of the state with Maurice Shepherd. He is a political science instructor at Madison Area Technical College. You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. What's your reaction to Governor Walker's speech yesterday? How would you describe the state of the state? What resonated with you in the speech? Join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. In the second half of his speech, the governor laid out what he called an ambitious agenda, 7-part agenda, key components including a child tax credit, youth prison overhaul, a stabilization of the healthcare system, and a number of other things. The legislative session is scheduled to end in May. Can all of these initiatives reasonably get done over the next 3-4 months?
It will be difficult, and I think what will probably happen is they will have to, for the state legislature in particular, they will have to narrow their focus and pick and choose in terms of what is reasonable to do at this time. Again, for the state of the state, I think it's unspoken that some of these, it's understood that some of these things may not be taken up right away. But again, for Governor Walker, he's laying it out there that if he is elected to a third term, that this will be, once again, the path forward.
The Foxconn deal was not the crown jewel of his accomplishments. I think he starts mentioning Foxconn maybe 35 minutes into the speech. Was that surprising to you?
No, because quite honestly, as an objective observer, since the Foxconn deal was initiated and moving forward, quite honestly, Governor Walker has been somewhat quiet on that particular point. When he announced that he was going to run for a third term, that wasn't something, again, that he put out there front and center. It was important that he mentioned it, but as you also pointed out, it didn't come until like almost halfway through the speech, in part because with Foxconn, there is some uncertainty there. There's a great deal of uncertainty. It's, you know, with the taxpayers of Wisconsin are paying a lot of money for this technological, once again, manufacturing operation to come to Wisconsin. But there are questions about, again, how many jobs will it produce, but also sort of the spin-off effect. I am not an economist, but economists point out that a development like Foxconn is not the same as maybe bringing, quote unquote, an Amazon to town. With Amazon, the multiplier effect in terms of the economy is much greater. It's much higher. There will be a multiplier effect with Foxconn, but it will not be anywhere near, again, sort of other types of development.
Let's spend a little moment here on how he would like to see budget surplus dollars spent. A child tax credit, it would give families $100 per year per child at a cost to the state of $122 million a year. The first year would be covered by a newly announced $137 million budget surplus. How do you expect that move, if it happens, to go over with Wisconsin residents?
I think the general point in terms of, well, one, I just want to say you can never go wrong in terms of addressing children and once again providing money once again to address the needs of children politically. But criticism, and again, this is a part of the minority response. I think it was Minority Leader Gordon Hines. A part of his criticism was that these are very short-term measures. Many of the initiatives that Governor Walker talked about, they were short-term measures to address what Minority Leader Hines thought were long-term problems. So, again, for the short term, again, that sort of tax credit, child tax credit, may be very good and it will be very popular. But when you have a budget surplus, you also may need to think about not just, once again, the short-term benefits, but the long-term cost.
Maurice Shepherd is with us on this morning after to break down the State of the State address. He's a political science instructor at Madison Area Technical College, gathering your insights, your takeaways on what this speech entailed at 800-642-1234. What stuck out to you in the State of the State speech? What did you hope to hear? What were you grateful to learn? What caused you concern? Join in at 800-642-1234. Post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation after this news update. The State of the State address is an annual speech presented by Governor Scott Walker to a joint session of the state legislature. We're getting analysis on yesterday's speech on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Good to have you along. Samantha Kirkman is a Republican state representative from Salem and the Majority Caucus Sergeant at Arms. By the way, yesterday we were wondering what the role of a Sergeant at Arms is, and here's a working definition of one big part of the job. When Assembly Republicans want to know how much support a particular bill has in their caucus, they hold their own vote. Representative Kirkman is the one who collects and counts those votes. Representative Kirkman, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Well, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, give us your overall reaction to the governor's State of the State address. What struck you?
Just his laying out of his vision for 2018, it's continuing we've had strong economic development growth here in the state of Wisconsin. I know I represent southeasternmost corner of the state, so my district borders Illinois. And the contrast between over the border happening in Illinois to what's happening here in Kenosha County, but then in the state, is really quite dramatic. So his vision, again, supporting, you know, education, reforms in health care, you know, they can't get that done on the federal level, so we need to act here on the state level, and welfare reform. I'm the co-chair also of the audit committee, so a number of the reforms that have been talked about we've talked about through the years, many years, you know, not just recently, with regards to audits that have come out. So it really has gotten me energized. And I hope, you know, again, it's hard for people to think about that this is an election year. So the legislature is only in for a few short months to finish up, and then we you know, transition into election mode.
Yeah, transition to election mode pretty shortly. You know, he had a 7-piece agenda here, laying out initiatives along seven different areas. Can these initiatives get done in such a short, compressed time period?
Well, I look at when, you know, the Republicans took control back in 2011 after that, you know, dramatic change, because I've been here now 18 years, how quickly the legislature acted that first January on many reforms, actually before people talk about Act 10. So, you know, there is an opportunity here when the legislature is motivated to actually get things done. We have control of all the houses. And again, there's going to be disagreements. I truly believe that. Not everybody's going to be on board with every piece. But going forward here, you know, it's created that discussion, you know, healthcare, you know, education, welfare reform, talked about roads, infrastructure. So, he hit so many things. His speech was much longer than other governors recently. You know, I've been here for half an hour speeches, and this wasn't like an hour and like 6 minutes, I think, is what I timed.
Mm-hmm. With applause, yes. Considering the proposal on this idea of using the budget surplus to go toward a child care tax credit, do you have any issues with that?
You know, I'm waiting to really look at the specific details. It's something that people who have families talk about, how they struggle, and especially this tax credit would come right at the beginning of the school year when everybody's buying school supplies. I know in my family, I have two boys, they're 12 and 10. You know, last year I spent about $105 just on school supplies. I went around, I coupon shopped myself. So I know what I spend every year in that time frame. So again, you know, for me, that would be a help to my budget as well. So again, I think everybody's going to kind of look at where their family fits and again, you know, how the details come out, where the money is coming from, how it's going to be transferred in. Those are some of the things, because, again, I wasn't elected at the time when we gave the tax rebate check back in the late 90s when we had, you know, that surplus. And actually, I've looked back at that thinking, you know, I'm glad we sent that money back to the people and didn't build in more structural deficit for us to face when we actually hit the recession that started in, you know, 2001 after September 11th. I lived through that, those years, very challenging years between, you know, 2001 and 2009, roughly, as we moved ourselves out of the recession.
Let's spend a little moment here on rural schools and an initiative that he sees to try to incorporate more dollars for schools in rural areas. What was your takeaway from that point in the speech?
Well, you know, and I have a divided district, I should say. I represent both two, you know, urban areas like Kenosha Unified, and then I do have rural districts who are struggling. So it is something that again, my school administrators have talked to me, not as much as, you know, the legislators who are further north and west. But again, this is something that we've heard over the years, and it's challenging because, again, our school aid formula is, you know, it's based on the Constitution. It's been tested. And again, trying to get aid to all the schools that have different needs, which are unique. You know, an urban school district is different than a rural school. So again, listening to what those rural schools need, transportation costs are so much higher. You know, Florence County, those kids are on a school bus for an hour each way. Mm. You know, people don't understand how challenging some of those issues are that might not be impacted in the same way.
Let's bring in a call now. Let's go to Dave, who joins us from Eau Claire. Hi, Dave.
Hello.
Go ahead.
I was just wondering how she says that Governor Walker is going to help the schools when he took away all this money from the schools, and now since it's an election year, he is promising that he's going to help all the kids and get them back up and give them more money when he stripped schools of most of their money and the teachers had to be laid off and they had to cut different programs and everything else in these schools.
Dave, thanks for the call. Representative Kirkman, do you see an emphasis on schools, and is it by coincidence that it is an election year?
Well, actually, we started, you know, last year, we actually put in the largest increase in schools. So it happened, the $204 that we put in per pupil, and it's really hard for folks to understand that.
Especially when you factor in inflation.
Correct. And so, you know, that's in addition to the money that, you know, the schools are receiving. They receive this year $11 billion. If you even go back to my first term, we, you know, education has always been, especially K-12 education, we've always put more money into that than any other program outside of Medicaid. Those are the two areas of the state budget we put in the most money. Again, you know, making those challenges, giving the schools more flexibility is what we did, too, in 2011, because, again, they were facing challenges, and it was hard for them to do. We were still coming out of the recession that had hit us during the 2000s. So, you know, here we are today. We're able to give more money to schools to help them, you know, adjust, and making sure that money goes into the classroom. Again, as a mom, I am seeing what, you know, the schools need firsthand. I was at the Christmas party a few weeks ago, seeing all the challenges. One of my kids has four aides in his class, two for behavioral needs, two for educational needs. It was fascinating to see the dynamics. Again, everybody was on a sugar high that day. Again, I think more legislators should take that opportunity, and I know a lot of my colleagues do, to get out to their schools, individual schools, but I spend a lot of time just because my kids are right there in the school age.
Representative Kirkman, before we let you go here, which policy item do you see as being priority number one for state lawmakers for the rest of this legislative session?
I guess, you know, some of the things that the Assembly already passed, we did the pre-existing condition bill that's going to make its way through the Senate. I'd like to see that pass because the federal level, they can't get it done. We need to get it done here on a state level. You only said one, right? So, again, getting more money into the schools and the welfare reform package. Again, I think those are the three big for me. Sorry.
That's okay. Representative Kirkman, thanks for making time for us.
Thank you.
Representative Samantha Kirkman is a Republican from Salem and the Majority Caucus Sergeant at Arms. She was providing her reaction to Governor Walker's State of the State address. Now let's welcome back Maurice Shepherd, a political science instructor at Madison Area Technical College, as we continue analysis on the State of the State. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What was your reaction to the State of the State? Did something in the address strike a chord with you? Join in or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. So in the second part of the speech, we did hear about health care, Maurice Shepherd, and this notion that you can't get it done at the federal level, so we're going to get it done at the state level. What did you see in the speech about health care?
A general observation is that the Affordable Care Act seems to be here to stay, that Governor Walker seems to have taken, again, an objective view, a very different approach now in terms of health care. I think he's always been supportive of health care, Badger care, senior care, those things. But again, now when he's discussing addressing pre-existing conditions in those areas, I think it's obvious that that citizens, voters, that this is something that they want. And I see that the governor is responding, again, to that need. Just also the in the minority response, minority leader Heintz, he pointed out that one thing the governor should look at is taking some of the federal dollars that are available to the state that we simply have not taken in the past, that, you know, that if he is serious about, again, supporting sustainable health care in Wisconsin, that that's something that the governor should take a look at.
The governor at one point gave a shout out to Milwaukee Democrat Evan Goyke, who has a proposal that would close Lincoln Hills School for Boys as a juvenile prison and open up regional youth facilities around the state. And that's now what the governor is proposing to do. You don't hear those across the aisle pat on the backs very often in a speech like this. Also, the governor made mention that he has found bipartisan legislation in 90% of the measures that he's passed.
Yeah, and let me just address that in sort of a larger take in terms of the governor's his address of, once again, sort of criminal justice in terms of, once again, Lincoln Hills taking a new approach. And I think that actual proposal actually came from a Democrat, once again, in the state legislature. But even something that an earlier caller mentioned, Dave, when he talked about the schools. So following up with Dave's comment about schools, that there are a number of policy areas, if it's education, criminal justice, once again, the corrections area and that sort, that you can look at and you can say, a critic would say that these are issues that for Governor Walker, maybe he had 8 years and maybe he didn't spend a lot of time on those issues, or he approached those policy issues in a certain way. And now, again, this is politics and it's an election year, and now he's either addressing these issues with much greater intensity and or he may seem to have sort of adjusted or changed his position on some of these. So that doesn't mean that it's good or bad, but again, I think for some of these policy issues, you see the governor now taking a new look at these issues. And I think just in terms of politics, it would be very helpful for the governor in some cases just to spell that out and just say, mm-hmm. I'm rethinking this. You know, I've had 8 years to deal with this issue. Maybe I wasn't sure how I was going to address it. But now, you know, I'm going to look at it with a set of fresh eyes.
Well, I think we've heard that a little bit from him in the way he says, we've heard from you. We've listened to you. We've been around the state on this listening tour, and this is what we've taken away from you. As if to say, you know, that's our ability now to pivot or change policy direction because we have listened to what people want.
Yeah, and that's going to, I think, putting policies aside, and that's our, quite honestly, that's going to be a, that I think that's going to be a really a challenge for the governor, is you have to make the case that you've been in office for 2 terms, 8 years. If you haven't been able to accomplish some of these things, or at least move, once again, move down the field on some of these things in an 8-year period, why should it be different in the next 4 years? I think Governor Walker tried to, again, set the stage to make that case with this State of the State address, but he will need to remain, once again, vigilant in terms of making that particular point.
Assembly Minority Leader, as you mentioned, Gordon Hintz, gave the Democratic response. He took the governor to task for prioritizing tax cuts for the rich over public school funding. Let's take a listen.
Governor Walker has slashed funding for higher education and K-12 education during his time in office. Why? Because Governor Walker and legislative Republicans have prioritized tax cuts to the wealthiest individuals in the state over the last 7 years. In this year alone, 15 individuals who earn more than $30 million a year will receive tax credits totaling $27.6 million. That's real money.
What do you make of that argument?
It goes to the general point, again, Dave, I think the earlier caller touched on this, that, and I think the minority leader pointed this out, that at the heart of all of this, in terms of how well quality of living in Wisconsin, where it is today, and also where it's going to go in the future, depends a lot on education. We are in, my students at Madison College are tired of hearing me say this, but I have to, you know, sort of ring the warning bell. We are in the middle of a paradigm shift in terms of our economy and how we live. Many of the jobs of today are not going to be the jobs of the future. And those jobs you can only get those jobs if you have proper training and education. Wisconsin can only keep and attract those new jobs with the new technology by having a workforce that is trained and educated. So I think that is the, so for a minority leader, and I think, again, Governor Walker knows this. It's just a question of how do you address it. Again, a criticism of Governor Walker may be that he has not paid as much attention to this in the past, again, by reducing school funding and that sort. But he can also, the governor could also make the argument that during his first 8 years in office, what he needed to do was establish a strong foundation, and that now is the time to move forward. Again, his critics will point out that, you know, for 8 years, you know, you appeared to be hostile to public education, you know, but he can also make the case that, no, I wasn't hostile. I was just setting a strong foundation for a brighter future.
Was there anything notably absent from Governor Walker's State of the State that you noticed?
A discussion of the Green Bay Packers. He usually discusses. I always note that he brings up the Packers, and apparently they did not have a good year this year. They were not mentioned.
Fair enough. Yeah. And finally, as we wrap up, how difficult a race is Governor Walker in for this fall? What is your read?
It depends. Again, some of the early political forecasts have, you know, that Wisconsin, as it relates to the governor's race, that's leaning Republican. But there is a long slate of challengers out there that are, once again, looking to unseat the governor. So I think the governor is a savvy politician. He will do, again, and he's been successful here in Wisconsin. His success in terms of winning re-election will depend not only on his performance, but also, you know, who might be the possible Democratic challenger.
We're digging into Governor Walker's State of the State speech. It was his 8th one in office. He touched on some long-held Democratic priorities, including guaranteeing insurance coverage for people with pre-existing conditions. But he also appealed to conservatives with further toughening of state welfare program requirements. Maurice Shepherd is a political science instructor at Madison Area Technical College. He stays with us. Your thoughts on the State of the State at 800-642-1234. You can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll be back after a check of the news. Governor Scott Walker's 8th State of the State was delivered to a joint meeting of the State Assembly and Senate. It's a time when Wisconsin's unemployment is at a record low. Let's bring in Democratic State Representative Diane Hesselbein. She's from Middleton and the Assembly Assistant Minority Leader. Representative Hesselbein, welcome to the program. Are you there?
Yes.
Great.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
What did you think of Governor Walker's State of the State?
Oh, I was disappointed. You know, Governor Walker and the Republicans in the legislature have tried to paint a rosy picture of the state of the state this year, but I believe Wisconsinites aren't going to buy it.
Why is that? You say the early indications are that Wisconsin families are not buying it. How do you know that? What's going on?
Well, you know, I'm talking to my friends and neighbors, and I have listening sessions all over my district, and people are hurting. They're not getting by. They're not doing well. And they really want to see a change in leadership in the governor's race this next election cycle.
It was recently announced that Wisconsin would have a $137.5 million budget surplus, which the governor wants to use to pay for a child tax credit that would give families $100 per child under 18 each year. Are you okay with that? And if not, what would you like to see done with that surplus?
Well, I think it's an interesting proposition, but I also think it's interesting that the governor talked about things like putting more money in the sparsity aid, which Democrats have been fighting for years, and then Governor Walker vetoed in the last budget, but now he wants to do it. So that's interesting to me. I think there are a lot of things people in the state of Wisconsin are looking for. I think wage increase is one. I think there's a lot of things we could do for a positive direction for the state of Wisconsin.
He laid out a pretty busy legislative agenda for the remainder of the session, which is scheduled to end in May. Do you see potential for juvenile prison reform, for health care reform, or any of these other measures that he called for in his speech yesterday?
Well, on Lincoln Hills, Governor Walker ignored this crisis for over 6 years, and now he supports Representative Goyke's plan to regionalize our juvenile correction systems. And at first he said he wanted to wait until 2019. Now it seems he might speed up that a little bit. But Democrats have consistently brought attention to the crisis at Lincoln Hills. It's time to act now. I'm hoping we can do this for our not just the children that are there, but for the people that work there as well. We need to take a really hard look at our correctional facilities all over the state of Wisconsin.
Let's go to Maddie now, who joins us from De Pere. Go ahead, Maddie.
Hi. I just feel like the governor is part of his political strategy to say that he's going to do that, take better care of our young people who got in trouble. But I think that if it's put off, that all he's planning to do is he'll say, well, I wanted to do that, but the legislature didn't put it in the budget. I'm sure that's all those things that are going to be like that. It'll all get blamed on the legislature, and he will be off the hook.
How would you respond to Maddie that these are empty promises?
I think Maddie's absolutely correct. I think these are empty promises. I don't think that a lot of these things are going to happen. It's an election year for Governor Walker, and so he's trying to make bold promises that are never going to see the light of day.
Alexandra on Facebook says Wisconsin has some of the worst roads in the country, and she says it takes an election year to accomplish anything on roads. What did you hear the governor address on the situation for roads and transportation?
He didn't really address that. That was one of the biggest problems in his budget last time, is that he didn't address transportation funding. So I think we're going to be hearing that going forward during this election year, the governor's inability to act on that. But there are potholes all over. Our roads are atrocious. We're spending more on trying to keep our cars maintained because of the potholes that we have. So it's just deplorable.
Some are saying, analysts are saying that the governor is heading into his toughest re-election campaign, re-election race of his tenure in politics. Do you see that the 2018 midterms are going to be kind to Democrats in Wisconsin?
Well, I think what we've seen all over the United States is a reaction to the President Trump. And I think what we've seen in the state of Wisconsin with Governor Walker, with his divide and conquer strategy and how he's closely aligning himself with President Trump, we can expect more things like that from Governor Walker. And it's a problem for the state of Wisconsin. And I think regular Wisconsinites are going to wake up and they're going to go to the polls and they're going to realize that Governor Walker has failed the state of Wisconsin and they're going to be voting for a change in November.
But I think during the state of the state, he really tried to distance himself from Capitol Hill, saying over and over again that Wisconsin is getting positive things done. He mentioned, too, that over 90% of the measures that he signed into law have had bipartisan, have had Democrats signing on to those measures. He was making a point, it seemed, that there is more working together in Madison. Is there something to this?
There are some ways we can try to work together with the other side, and there's some not. What Governor Walker is talking about is on the floor of the Assembly, we sometimes vote on voice vote. So, you know, it seems like it's fine, but some people, Democrats are voting no on things, and so it's a little ambiguous. One thing Governor Walker didn't speak a lot about was this massive giveaway to Foxconn to a foreign corporation, $3 billion, I think it's up to $4.5 billion now. He mentioned it a couple times, but that is a huge giveaway to a foreign company, the biggest in the United States that's ever been given. So that's a huge problem going forward. Whether Foxconn ever becomes a reality, we'll see.
So what would be the takeaway from this speech that you see the legislature acting upon as it tackles all of these 7 points in his agenda?
I'm not sure what the legislature is going to get to this session. We've been told that the Assembly Democrats might end our session the end of February. So that's a really speedy timeline to draft these bills, to get them introduced, to have hearings on them, to move forward. And meanwhile, we have all these other things that have been working on for the past session. So I don't see how any of this is going to get done.
Representative Hesselbein, thank you so much for making time for us.
Thank you so much for inviting me this morning. Have a lovely day.
You too. Democratic State Representative Diane Hesselbein is from Middleton and the Assembly Assistant Minority Leader. Let's return now to Maurice Shepherd for a final few minutes here. He's a political science instructor at Madison Area Technical College. You can join in the conversation. What was your reaction to Governor Walker's speech yesterday? 800-642-1234. How would you describe the state of the state? How do you feel about the proposed child tax credit? Is it good policy or an election year move? What about offering reinsurance, more sparsity aid for rural school districts, and a special session to pass welfare reform? Join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. You can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Well, Maurice, we heard here from Representative Hesselbein not a very optimistic look from this state of the state. She certainly didn't have that same energy that the governor had about the points that he made.
And I think it goes to a larger issue. Two things. One, within the state of Wisconsin, there is a divide between, if you look at a map in terms of economic conditions across the state, there are two Wisconsins. There's sort of the Madison, Milwaukee, once again, which is doing fairly well. But then when you get to northern parts of the state, it's much more challenging in those areas. Unemployment rates are higher, again, and in terms of, for some of those rural schools that were discussed, again, they have not been funded sufficiently. They are finding it more difficult to keep some of those schools open. And Governor Walker did mention transportation issues related to rural schools. But that's a challenge. So there are two Wisconsins. The second part, a larger part as it relates to politics, is that usually in political science, if you do a quantitative analysis, one factor that can be very important in terms of forecasting an election and possible winners and losers will be the economy. And the economy actually is doing really well right now. But that isn't the whole story. If the economy were sort of all the story, there would be a President Clinton in office right now, following once again a Democrat. But what's also important, though, and again, this may be, again, going back to the part of once again having two Wisconsins, it would be, one, the mood in the country and the mood in the state. There is a Trump effect here, again, in terms of how the president presents himself and how people feel about the direction that he's taking the country, and Wisconsin would be part of that. And the second part, I think, is just exhaustion with a governor. After 8 years, when family comes to visit over the holidays, it's great, you know, in the first few days, and then, you know, it sort of wears on you, and then, you
what
know.
What is it, like fish or something?
I was trying to avoid that. I was not going to say that, but it's, you know, at some point, you know, exhaustion kicks in.
Fatigue.
Right, and sometimes the voters, citizens just need to hear a new voice, and they need to hear a new idea. So even for Governor Walker, he may have very good intentions, and some of these policies may be very viable, but at some point, maybe the voters, particularly Democrats, but also moderate Republicans, they may say, we want something new, we want something different.
Well, as we heard the caller, Maddie, call in, hearing about all of these initiatives, and this idea that there could be all of these things that happen, and yet it hangs in the balance of the legislature. And she felt like she was being set up in a way that the governor will turn around and say, well, we couldn't get it through the legislature. I put it out there.
And that's the challenge of a democratic system. When you have campaigns and elections, politicians, and they may be sincere in terms of their policy agenda that they put forward. The reality is, though, is after once the elections are over and you have to start governing, and things have to go through the legislative process, some things will make it through successfully, some things may not. Again, I can't read Governor Walker's mind in terms of his true intent. I will have to take him at his word and believe that he is sincere in terms of pushing these initiatives forward.
In the few seconds we have left with you as we wrap up, what will you be watching for as we head into the 2018 midterms?
Well, on the Democratic side, to see, we'll have primaries there, to see who comes out of that that race on that side. We have a number of candidates from the Democratic Party who have different sets of talents and that sort of thing. So it will be interesting to see how they compete and who actually comes out of that field.
Maurice, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Maurice Shepherd is a political science instructor at Madison Area Technical College. Earlier, we talked with Republican State Representative Samantha Kirkman of Salem and Assembly Assistant Minority Leader Diane Hesselbein. This special coverage of the State of the State was produced by Bill Martins and Nyasia Ellison. Michelle Johnson is executive producer. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Stay with us for more analysis on the State of the State here on the Ideas Network.